Good morning, and welcome to this worship service on this Christmas Sunday, this fourth Sunday of Advent that often happens to be Christmas Eve this year, but we are focusing on it as being the fourth Sunday of Advent this morning, and I'm glad that you're able to be here today as we gather for this worship service. I want to invite all of you to stay for a few minutes after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is directly behind the sanctuary. I'd also like to invite you to return this evening at 7 o'clock for our candlelight Christmas Eve service that we'll be focusing on traditions, Christmas traditions around the world. And several folks in the congregation will be reading about different traditions. We'll be singing some different carols, and then we'll also be sharing the Christ candlelight in a circle around the sanctuary as we celebrate Christ coming into the world once again. So I invite you to do that. On the back page of the bulletin, you will note the calendar for this week. There is no Bible study on Tuesday, and there is going to be a time of setting up the parlor for winter worship on Wednesday evening at 6. Anyone that's able to come, you're more than welcome. This is our last Sunday service here in the sanctuary until Palm Sunday, as we move to the parlor for the winter to conserve costs on heating. Enjoy the sanctuary, enjoy all the beautiful decorations today, and we'll be back in here, as I said, on Palm Sunday, which is the end of March next year. You'll also note that I will be away next Sunday, but the Pastor Bim Gurung from the First Nepali Baptist Church will be the guest preacher. in your first winter worship service in the parlor next week. So I'm sure that he will have a wonderful sermon for you, message. Also, there is a green insert in your bulletin today, which is a list of honor roll of those being remembered by plants here at up at the front. There is a mixture of plants here today because First Nepali Baptist Church has also contributed flowers to our worship service for us to enjoy. They are not worshiping tonight, but they are going to be worshiping tomorrow on Christmas Day. And so they'll be using their plants tomorrow as part of their worship service. So, but did want us to enjoy their plants along with our own today. Also, there is an announcement on the back page of the bulletin that the offering envelopes for next year are available on the desk out in the hallway. If you don't find envelopes with your name on them and would like offering envelopes for next year, please speak to Richard Freeman. Also, I want to let you know that today is the last Sunday for our nursery attendant, Bernadette Pena, as we are no longer going to be providing a paid nursery attendant during the worship services. So today is Bernadette's last Sunday with us. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 161 for our responsive call to worship. As we have done each Sunday during Advent, we are reading selected verses from the prophet Isaiah as we prepare our hearts and minds, and let us read responsively from God's holy word. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For to us a child is born.
To us a son is given.
Government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor.
Mighty God.
Everlasting Father.
Praise
of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end.
He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom.
Establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on, and forever. Our opening hymn this morning is O Come All Ye Faithful, number 175. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, in the midst of all the Christmas preparations, we need to pause and remember the true meaning of this season. The food, the wrapping paper and bows, and all the festivities are but a small part. You who give us everything we have, even though we continually turn away from you, bless us with the greatest gift of all, your Son. Rekindle hope afresh in us as we prepare to once again adore and worship him. Instill in us the ability to bow before you with the trust and innocence of a small child. May the mounting excitement we feel through this day and into tonight, culminating on Christmas morning, remain with us throughout the year. We ask this in Jesus' name and now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Bella have been helping me each week during Advent light candles. And do you know why we've been lighting candles? We're sort of getting ready for something. What's happening tomorrow? It's what? It's going to be Christmas. That's right. And Christmas, tomorrow's your birthday? No, I don't think so. It's somebody else's birthday tomorrow, though. Person's name starts with a J. It's Jesus' birthday tomorrow. And we're getting ready we've been lighting the candles on the outside, marking that we're getting closer and closer. And we're going to be lighting all four candles in just a few minutes. But each day, each Sunday, I've been talking about what the new candle represents. And today's candle represents Jesus' Father. Remember what his name was? His name was Joseph. And we remember Joseph because he was a worn-out traveler. And he was a worried husband because he was traveling with Mary and all of a sudden it was time for Jesus to be born and he wasn't at home and he had to get all those things. He had to make do with everything and get everything ready for the sake of his family. He also wasn't very rich, but he had hope in God. And there was no room for him or his family in the inn. Yet Joseph knew to whom he belonged. And today we give thanks for the Josephs in our society, in our lives, who are living among us, migrating far from home when there is no choice, fiercely devoted to the ones they love, unwavering in their belief that there is room for all in the kingdom of God. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we relight the purple candles reminding us of the prophets who give us hope and the shepherds who share the message of the good news of God's redeeming love. We're going to relight the pink candle that reminds us of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And today we will light for the first time the third purple candle, a symbol of Joseph, who knocks at the door, ready to take his place among royalty. I invite you to turn in the bulletin to the song, Light the Advent Candle, and sing that verse as Rihanna and Bella help me light the candles.
Lord, 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 L
Lord, our time of waiting is almost over. All four of the outside candles are now lit, meaning that Advent is almost over. Lord, today we remember Joseph, the father of Jesus. We thank you for all of his willingness to care for him and care for his family and prepare for him and provide for his family. Lord, we are mindful of those Josephs that are among us that may have different names but have the same role as a father figure. Lord, we pray for them today and pray that they may have the strength to hear your invitation to be part of your family. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there's no class today, but you may go back and sit with your families. Thank you, Irene and Marilyn. We come to an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. And we want to keep the Huddy family in prayer as we've been praying for Chuck's mom and I learned on Monday that Dorothy Huddy passed away last Saturday night in her sleep. And so we want to continue to keep the Huddy family in prayer that Chuck's mom is no longer suffering. Still there's an emptiness there. And so we want to keep Chuck and Cindy and Michael and Douglas and the other family members in prayer today. It's difficult during the holiday season to lose a loved one. We want to keep them in prayer. We want to keep those folks that are not able to be here on a regular basis, those who are in nursing homes and hospitalized, but also those who are confined to homes right now and just not able to get out and be here as often as they wish. And keep them in prayer. We want to keep those that are being remembered by plants today in our prayers as well. We also want to continue to pray for the wildfires and those that are being affected by the wildfires in California. And just again, a holiday season, and it's first responders can't say, "Well, I'm going to stop. It's Christmas," when a fire is raging. So we want to keep that situation in prayer today as well. Do you have any requests for prayer today, either a celebration or a concern, Marilyn? If you didn't catch that, I'll quickly summarize those. Marilyn's friend Judy, who we've been praying for off and on for quite a while now, is back in Winchester Hospital. Also, an American Baptist woman from First Baptist Lynn, Wilma Fowler. I remember Wilma from way back when I first came to Malden, being very supportive and getting me involved in some of the women's work. And she died unexpectedly this week. And her funeral is, calling hours are Thursday, funeral is Friday. Marilyn is attending. That was if you would like to go to see Marilyn. And finally, Beverly DeWolf Creasy, member of the church, daughter of Ruth and Palmer DeWolf, was in a serious car accident earlier in the year, is still having subsequent surgeries. Does want to be remembered to the church family. Marilyn said there is a card here if you'd like to sign it. Also, heard from Mona Hatch this week, and Mona wanted to be remembered to the church family as well. Mona's out in Minnesota and doing okay, but just did want to be remembered to her Malden church family today. Anyone else have a prayer request? Well, Stephanie? Okay. Stephanie's mother-in-law's parents, so her grandparents-in-law, right, are going through some tough issues right now, so we want to keep them in prayer. Lisa, did I see your hand? Okay. Lisa was saying a friend and co-worker named Paul had a massive heart attack on his way home from work on Monday. And gratitude for the person that came upon it and administered CPR. And he's doing okay. He's not doing well. Okay. It's pretty dire right now. So we want to keep Paul in prayer today. Jimmy had surgery. Your brother Jimmy had surgery on Monday. He's doing okay. So Lisa's brother Jim is home, though, recuperating from knee surgery, and that can be painful at times. I understand. Anyone else have a prayer request? Mark. Well, I'm better than I have been. Let's put it that way. Let's see if I make it through the service and if I make it through tonight. But I am very grateful that I am here today. Yes, and I haven't coughed yet, so hopefully I'll make it through the service. That's why God works in mysterious ways. I had planned this service so I'm not all talking. It's sort of broken up with scripture and singing and. God knows things that I don't know, so things are working out better than I could have planned for, and that's something that I've always said that, leave it to God. God knows what's going on. Just, stay out of it sometimes and keep your finger off the thing, because sometimes, things work out better if you just let things happen than try to control things. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Diane. Okay. So your sister, Beth, is still undergoing chemo. Has been doing that for quite a while now, and just want to keep her in prayer. Is your mom here today? Okay. Wasn't sure. I hadn't seen the choir yet. I hadn't been in here long enough to see the choir. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Emmanuel, you are God with us. Truly in this Advent season, We celebrate that you are not hidden in some faraway cloud, but you chose to be with us in the hurriedness and the mystery of our lives. In the midst of lists and rush, you are with us as a song that echoes in our minds, as the light of a candle, as a card from a friend. They are signs of your presence in our lives. We turn to you this day and pray that you would bring joy and healing, blessing and hope into our lives. Let something wonderful begin in us, something that is surprising and holy. Lord, we pray that your hand may be upon us. Let your love fill us. Let your joy overwhelm us. May our longing for you be met through the birth of your Son, our Savior, Emmanuel. God, you are coming to be with us once again. Come, Lord Jesus. Quickly come. Amen. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we continue to prepare for Christ's coming, we remember the great gift that God gave and gives his Son, Jesus Christ. In gratitude for that gift, we have an opportunity of saying thank you tangibly by our tithes and our offerings. And at this time, the ushers will receive your gifts.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that you are not remote and far away, but that you came in the person of Jesus, came as a baby, a helpless baby, and grew to be a man to walk among us and minister to us and ultimately die for us. Lord, we thank you for that gift, and we offer these tokens of our gratitude to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the message of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. This morning's message is a compilation of scripture readings and carol singing and brief meditations. And so Dave Latta is our scripture reader today, and he's going to be alternating with me and singing carols. And if you follow along in the bulletin, I will announce the carols. We are going to remain seated for the next several carols until we get to the final carol, our closing carol for the day, Joy to the World. So just if you want to follow along, if you don't want to follow along, just listen. Dave, let's start.
Good morning. This first scripture is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, from the New Standard Revised Version. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, the city of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is also called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Christmas is a high point in the Christian year. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, God in person, who lived and lives among us. But Christmas is a beginning, a starting point. The manger is linked to the empty tomb. Without the resurrection, Jesus would only be a kind man, a good man, a prophet, an example. a great philosopher along with other great personalities of history. But he was God in diapers and baby clothes. He said he came to earth to save us and to give us hope for life after life. And as a sign or verification of who he was, his life led to an early and untimely death. This morning we are contemplating his clothing, the garments that he wore. As Jesus started out in baby clothes or swaddling clothes, long bands of cloth that Mary wrapped around Jesus to make him feel safe and protected. Billions of babies have been born through the centuries of time. Most were tenderly loved and cared for by their parents and dressed in infant's apparel. A baby is a helpless individual, totally dependent on someone else. Most creatures in our world at least can stand or walk or feed themselves shortly after birth, but not so with human beings. It's usually at least a year or more before a child can stand and walk and begin to learn the rudiments of feeding and caring for itself. That is total dependency. And God chose to visit us in person and to become, for a time, totally dependent and trusting in the love and faithfulness of human parents. We often talk about our trust in God. See how much God trusted us as humans? God could not even clothe himself. His mother had to do it for him in baby clothes, in a manger.
Second reading is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well.
And the child grew and developed with the loving nurture given him by Mary and Joseph. Then when he was fully grown, he began doing amazing things, marvelous things, disturbing things, dangerous things, threatening things. He began to spread news, good news, that God had come to release people from the chains and burdens and consequences of sin, fear, and guilt. Jesus dared to forgive sins. He dared to cure sickness, even on the Sabbath. He dared to promise abundant life in a forsaken, downtrodden, despairing world. Jesus roamed the countryside with poor people and outcasts, camping out, laughing and celebrating, teaching and reasoning, tending to the sick and those who are limited mobility. He lived life to its fullest and was undoubtedly weary and exhausted night after night from work and rejoicing and discussing long into the evening. We do not know just exactly what he wore during those brief years, a cloak, a robe, a garment, but on one of his journeys, a woman, any woman, a woman who was not important enough or famous enough to have her name recorded by the gospel writers, but she felt the need for healing. And not only did she feel the need, but she acted on that. She did not set up an appointment for counseling or a doctor's examination. She crept up behind Jesus, reached out, and touched the hem of his garment. There was no magic in the cloth. It was the reaching out and Jesus' acceptance of her that made the difference. Jesus did not even take credit for the healing. For locked up inside this woman was the cure for her own ills. It was her faith. Note that when Jesus said to her, "Your faith has made you well," so often we are afraid to reach out to another person or even to God. We feel rejection or embarrassment. We are too proud to admit that we might have a need. In this Advent and Christmas season, may we once again reach out in faith and touch the hem of Christ's garment.
Thank you.
This third reading is from John, chapter 19, verses 23 and 24. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled. "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment."
Jesus ended up without a penny. They didn't even allow him the dignity of his last earthly possessions, the clothes that he wore. As if torture, insult, and death were not enough, they gambled away his garments. Jesus ministered to people, and they murdered him. The cycle was complete. The cradle to the grave. Or was it? Was Jesus' life all without purpose? God has the strangest way of turning darkness into day. Jesus' birth, his ministry, his death, all had meaning. The baby clothes, the cloak, the gambled garment, all led to a final, finer piece of cloth.
Fourth reading is from John, chapter 19, verses 38 to 40, and chapter 20, verses 3 to 8. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission. So he came and removed the body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial customs of the Jews. On the first day of the week, Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed.
It all seems so useless, so tragically useless. A life so worthwhile, so beautiful, snuffed out by one of the most horrible deaths ever contrived. But it was all over now. No more healing, no more good news, no more late night talks, no more bread for the hungry, no more rejoicing. The final chapter had been written to the life of a great person who never really made it. There were had been such high hopes, such dreams, such plans. It ended something like it began. He was lying down again, this time in a tomb, not in a manger, not glowing with life, but stone dead, not dressed in swaddling baby clothes, but in a linen sheet and a face cloth. How could the baby of Bethlehem, the manger child, end up in bloody grave clothes? The end. It seemed so final. And then a spark more potent than a nuclear flash split the dawn. A rumor spread. He had risen from the dead. Two disciples came running. They entered the tomb. They found nothing. Absolutely nothing except a linen shroud and a face cloth that once covered a dead man. He is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. This is not only a message of Easter, but also the message for Christmas. Christmas is the joyous celebration of baby clothes and the folded burial shroud. Jesus came to bring hope, good news, and the promise of life. May we hear that good news, claim that promise, and live in that hope this Christmas season. Please join with me in prayer. O Lord, we are joyous in this Advent and Christmas season because you came in person to bring us redemption, to show us the way to walk in this world, and to give us the hope of life. Help us to reach out to you and to others and accept those who reach out to us this season. We prepare for your coming into our lives and into our world. Come, Lord Jesus, no longer wearing baby clothes or burial shroud. Come as our resurrected Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for Christmas. Grant that we may be grateful enough to keep it not for a day, but for always. We ask this in the name of Christ, whose coming is a mystery, whose life is a miracle, whose ministry in word and deed and death is salvation, and whose presence is now our highest hope. Amen.